League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about the Green Bay Packers' surprising 24-22 loss to the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. Eric, the Green Bay Packers just got beat by a third-string undrafted quarterback.
Where was he from? Isn't he from like Division III St.
No,
Mary's?
No, I hadn't looked him up his entire college career. I only knew he played at Illinois last year, but he played his first 4 years at Syracuse.
Oh, okay. So he was recruited. But, you know, so every time it seems like the Packers are the guys that give teams a launching pad for their career. You know, they anytime there's a third string quarterback or someone who comes from nowhere, they seem for whatever reason to have the Packers number, and it held true again Monday night.
It seemed like this guy, just watching the game live, and I think it felt similarly watching it when I rewatched it today. But this guy beat him as much with his legs as his arms. You know, 10 runs, 70 yards. It wasn't like he went for 120 or something like that. But the damage he did with his legs just was pretty severe. How'd that happen? I mean, last week, you know, they play Patrick Mahomes. Big thing with him, keep that guy in the pocket. They did it. They win the game. How can they – now they're going against a guy who's not half the player. And the guy beats him, and he beats him, goes a long way to beating him with his feet.
Well, there's a couple things to that statement that is true. And number one, I think the modern day pro quarterback is not the Lamar Jacksons of the world that are going to be, you know, that they're going to run around. I think the modern day pro quarterback are more of the Mahomes type, the guys who are going to run enough. They're going to hurt you enough to get first downs, keep drives alive. You know, and Love does the same thing, and able to get out of the pocket and keep plays alive and make them pay with your arm, because it's so devastating when they get out of the pocket. And in this case, it wasn't where he got out of the pocket and was super devastating with his arm. Certainly the touchdown pass was a problem there for sure. You know, he gets out of the pocket, throws a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. And we can talk about that as part of it. But the modern day running quarterback is doing exactly what we saw on Monday night. And I guess the disturbing part in my mind is that you just came off of a game that your whole goal was to keep the quarterback in the pocket and make him throw it to a depleted wide receiver group. And, you know, okay, so you come into this game, you're not 100% sure what you're going to get with this guy, and now all of a sudden he starts hurting you a little bit with his feet. How hard is it to regroup either at halftime or in between series and say, hey, just like last week, we're going to contain. So you're going to do your defensive calls to contain him in the pocket and keep him in between the tackles and not have a parting of the Red Sea continually where a guy goes up the middle, and now, you know, in the most important drive of the game, you're wasting a linebacker to be the spy like Green Bay had to do. I just see that as like, I don't understand it. I don't understand how difficult it is to make an adjustment like that on the fly. Certainly other teams are able to do it. I don't understand why this team just can't. Well, that wasn't our strategy coming in, and we ain't going to do it. So
Rashawn Gary told me that they did talk about that at halftime. He said both him and Clark said that this was something they knew this guy was a decent scrambler, So they knew going in, and he said they talked about rushing to contain more in the second half, but it didn't really look like they did it very much, did it that well. And I guess it was the read option beat them. He beat them with the read options a couple times too.
Well, it's interesting that you say that they talked to you about it at halftime, that they were going to try and contain him a little bit better with their pass rush, because it really didn't translate in the game. And in fact, later in the game, they had to go to us keeping McDuffie in to spy him. And that, you know, you're wasting a guy on defense to have him spy. And I understand that you have to do it in some cases, but in a case like this where you're at the end of the game and you're wasting a spy rather than using that guy to put some put pressure and heat up the quarterback a little bit or to be back in a zone situation, it just, to me, seems like an awful waste. And they certainly were not able to translate the discussion at halftime to the field of play in the second half.
Yeah. And, it's funny. One of the, as big a culprit as anybody on this is their best defensive player, Rashawn Gary, as far as giving up the edge, both in the read option and on a couple of those scrambles.
That's a really good point that you made, because it's frustrating. And it's not something that just popped up. It's something that's happened the entire season. And here's the deal, Pete. I know this. When you have a stud football player who's, no matter where they are, whether it's Charles Woodson, I heard this about Charles Woodson sometimes, that they just allowed him to freelance when he needed to make a play, but he made a play. And, you know, I don't think Rashawn Gary is at that point yet to be able to just say, hey, go make a play and throw your responsibilities out, because there were in the second quarter, looking at it, there was a play where they scored a touchdown on, and he decides he's going to rush in. He's going to vacate his outside contained responsibility and rush inside, go inside. He gets hung up, quarterback rolls out, touchdown.
That was late third quarter, by the way.
Late third quarter.
Okay. Yeah.
And then just a few plays before that, you know, the quarterback runs around the edge. DeVito, he does the same thing. He's rushing and he takes an inside rush. DeVito sees it and he goes around the corner for a big gain to keep the chains moving. So those kind of things is a discipline thing that's got to stop. And it's happening in other places of the field too. It's not just the outside linebacker spot. The Shaquan Barkley touchdown, that was a tough one too. Not the one where he made Campbell miss, but the first one where it went around the left end there. I mean, you couldn't ask for the edge to be set any better. It was a big giant pile of humanity piled up there, and the safety does not flow out with it, and it's, you know, that goes off for a touchdown. So those are the little things that keep continually to happen on that defense that's got to get cleaned up in order for them to be successful and get important stops.
It's funny. I looked it up. This guy, I don't know if you knew this going in. This guy, so he had started three games before this game. He'd been sacked. He was sacked 20 times in those games.
In three games.
And the Packers got him zero.
Wow.
I mean, how did that happen? And they didn't, you know, you're right. When I went back and through, they didn't blitz much. They did a couple times. One time they blitzed early on a third down, and it worked. I mean, they didn't get to him, but he threw an inaccurate pass. He had a little pressure, threw an inaccurate pass, but they didn't blitz him much. And, I mean, what a disaster to give up all those yards on the ground, those 5 and 6 yard runs where if you sack them, it's second and long, and instead it's second and short. Give those up. But, you know, then to also not sack the guy at all, it's just, it was kind of mind boggling.
Yeah. And coming into the game too, is we, you know, the knock on their offensive line was it was a turnstile. Just let those, you know, and they gave up a ton of sacks. I believe they gave up the most sacks in the league.
Yeah.
And so, you know, coming in, you think this is just going to be a sack fest, and it just never materialized. And, you know, so obviously they did a better job coaching, but I think the other end of it too is they got to disguise more on defense. You know, they got to do more to put pressure on the quarterback other than just sack them. You know, you can make quarterbacks hold the ball a little bit longer by disguising your coverages, making it look like cover three, and then all of a sudden it turns into cover two on the snap of the ball. Guys moving around in certain spots that happen at the snap. Linebackers that are mugged up and then bail. So now all, you know, you got bugged up linebackers, you're thinking slants. Little turnarounds, things like that, and then they bail at the snap. So now they're in the hook curl zone and takes those plays away just by because of scheme, and some of those things. You know, the Packers play a really vanilla defense. You know, they rely on their pass rushers and they rely on interceptions that happen because they're playing deep and not having getting anything beat over the top. And unfortunately, in a game like this, with a quarterback that's probably not very adept to all of that stuff, has got to, you know, you got to do something different to make guys look silly. And unfortunately, that's just not what this defense does. They line up, they play off man coverage, they play cover two shell, cover four shell, and that's how they line up and play. And you see the result.
Yeah, they did not heat him up much. So if you're flipping over to the other side of the ball, so they had no Jones, no Watson, no Musgrave. Those are three of the four guys, along with Jaden Reed, who the reason the Packers have some speed on offense now is because of those three guys and Reed, and three of those guys are missing. They were making up for Jones being out. I mean, they won the last two games without him. But one of the ways they made up for it was – running all those jet sweeps and end around and jet sweep passes to Reed. It worked early, but it's just, this game really felt like this was one of the first times where you felt like they really missed Aaron Jones.
Yeah, they went to the well too many times. And that's something that on tape, when you're, you know, they're seeing the same thing that everybody sees it. They're probably more in depth. They know, you know, those guys that are breaking down video and putting these, their clips together are watching all of that stuff down the distance, where they are in the field. You know, so if you're on the short side of the, if Reed's on the short side of the field and he typewriters across, or he comes sprinting across, you thinking your antenna goes up right away. Hey, all right, we got to watch jet sweep here. We got to watch wide receiver toss, these kind of things that happen. Cause that's the only way that they can attack the perimeter. And they were successful the last 3-4 weeks being able to do that. Now, without any teams have seen it enough, it's like old hat, you know. So you're going to get them just because of, you know, if it's blocked well in situation. But, I mean, quite frankly, you know, they went to the well a few too many times on that, I think, on Monday night. And they're going to have to find a way to attack the perimeter other ways. Now, you can still do it. You can still run that play and get some, because they've gotten some mileage on it. But it may be – May have to look a little different. It may have to maybe motion Reed to the backfield, kind of like what they did with Cobb when they wanted to attack the perimeter a little bit. Motion him into the backfield, have him as a tight wing, and then do a quick toss to him. Things of that nature that can still attack the perimeter, or even line him up in the backfield. Do things to make the defense think a little bit, because they're going to have those opportunities to do it coming up here. But especially if Aaron, because you know what's going to happen with Aaron Jones, they're going to come him in the first game, they're going to give him 5 touches, and it's 15 touches. And then after the second game three coming back, they're going to, you know, then they'll open up. Well, they don't have time. There's only 4 games left. They don't have time for that. So they have to be a little bit smarter on how they're going to do that. And then I think, you know, the sad part is for that football team is they just don't have a running back right now that you know, puts the fear of God in you. You know, you're going to get pounded a little bit with 28. Those things are going to come up on you, but he's not shifty. He doesn't make anybody miss. When linebackers and safeties over pursue, he can't make them pay because he can't shift quick enough to be able to cut back and make those holes go for long gainers, because this is not the type of back that he is. He's a straightforward downhill runner. And in order to do that, you got to block up front. It's easier to take that kind of play away because there's no threat of the cutback. So, you know, they have to find a way – to move the football on the ground, except for between, you know, outside the tackles. And they tried it a little bit by having, you know, by doing quick tosses to 28, you know, so they line them up next to the quarterback, and at the snap, he's sprinting out to the edge and they toss him the ball. I think where he's more deadly, though, is when they throw it to him. I think they have to design more throws to him where you run a bunch of verticals and run everybody out of there and then, you know, throw it to him in the flat. Those are situations that they can utilize to they kind of like a pat, like a run, but not run, you know, that looks like for whatever reason against the Giants, they tried to run a screen and that thing got swallowed up in a hurry. So they were coached very well. They were ready for it. And one of the things that they just need to do, and I don't think they have the running back to do it right now, but they need to put the ball in Reed's hands in just a little bit different situation.
Yeah, I think they got to be hoping just like crazy that Jones is back this week. They definitely need him. Let's talk about the playoffs and where this team is. What do you think? The odds went, you know, I don't know the algorithms for these things, but ESPN's odds going into this game, I think it was about 70% that they would make the playoffs. Maybe it might have been higher than that, 76, something like that. And they lose, and now it was either 48 or 49. What do you think? Do you think they're going to make the playoffs?
Well, if they win out, I mean, the destiny's in their hands, right? I mean, they win out.
It is, but, you know, will they do it? Do you think they will?
I think the toughest of the games is coming up right now. You know, the Buccaneers are going to be a tough out for Green Bay, and they're going to have to pound the ball. You got a little bit of a resurgence going on down there. Not awesome or anything like that, but you know, you got a 4-8 team that comes that hasn't been scored. It scores 14 points a game, knocked off the Packers. What is this team going to do? You know, and we all thought that way with the Chiefs too, that the Chiefs were going to come in and knock them out, and they were able to play a little bit better complementary football, and they got a couple turnovers that were really important. So, you know, the defense is going to have to step up. They're going to have to create turnovers, number one. And number two, the offense has got to get back into their rhythm and be able to do things a little bit differently. Now, I don't know how long – it sounds like Wicks has got a concussion, so we don't know how long, you know – what the expiration date for his injury is going to be. Musgrave's probably going to be a while. You know, but there's not much time left. It's do or die. And if they lose, it's going to be over.
Oh, by the way, when I was texting you about that and I said Wick's concussion, I was mistaken there. I think he's ankle, but it sounds like it's a, you know, like he was really hurt. I think it was Wicks who was, I got to look this up, but somebody, I think it was Wicks who had an ankle injury and he was really hurt. One of their guys had a pretty bad ankle injury and he was not happy in the locker room afterwards. I think it might've been Wicks.
Well, that's still causes a problem. Now you got one more piece of the puzzle that's missing. So they're really going to have to do something. They're really going to have to be stout on offense. They're going to have to pound the ball early and make those backers and safeties start climbing the ladder and not allowing, you know, so they can open up the play action pass. And someone's going to have to be the deep threat, you know, whether it's Reed or Dobbs or, you know, who knows what Torrey's going to do. You know, they're going to have to heat that group up a little bit. But I think it all is going to start with what they do on the ground.
Oh, by the way, I checked on this. You were getting back to the Giants' offense. So DeVito came in the second quarter when early second quarter, Daniel Jones tore his ACL. It was 5 games ago. So in the 4 games before the Packers, he'd started 3 and played 3 quarters the other one. And in those 4 games before the Packers game, they were averaging 16 points a game. And it was either 30 or 31 of those points came against Washington, which has the worst ranked scoring defense in the NFL. So yeah, these guys were not lighting it up at all. And so putting up 24, giving up 24, I don't know, that feels like giving up, you know, 28, 29, 30 to another team.
50. I mean, that's pretty brutal. You know, just it looked like even from the opening snap, it just didn't look good, you know, and you're going to have those. You got a young team, Monday Night Football, bright lights, you know, a big change in what you're doing, you know. So whether you're playing at home against KC at night, it's still playing on Sunday.
in your home stadium, which helps, or Monday night, which is a night game, but it's another day longer. They have to travel. So all those things kind of play into it in a young team that doesn't really have their moxie yet. You know, that's a tough out. And I thought, looking at this game, that I figured it was going to be a close game, but I didn't expect the Packers to lose it. And I don't think anybody did. Obviously, they were heavily favored going into that ball game, based on how they performed in the recent weeks. But man, alive, it was definitely a debacle in the Big Apple there. But I guess the positive thing. So you're looking at, you throw all that stuff in there, and it looks like a pretty ugly looking soup, right? But the positive thing was, at the end of the game, they were able to go and take the lead. And previously in this season, they weren't able to do that. You throw a pick, and, you know, something bad happens, and they're not able to go in there and get that quick go-ahead score with a minute 13 left on the clock. You're thinking to yourselves, if that's Patrick Mahomes, it's pretty scary. But with DeVito, you're thinking this game's in the can. It's ready to go. They're not going to do it. And then the defense just completely, you know, lays an egg out there. So, but that's positive. I mean, so that's the positive you take from the game, is that it was a ugly game. They came close to winning. They took the lead with a minute 13 left on the clock. That's positive for the quarterback and the offense. You know, but the defense let them down at the end.
That throw and catch to Malik Heath was on both ends. That was borderline spectacular, I thought. I mean, I thought it was a great throw, and it was a really, really good catch too.
Yeah, and to get in there and get his hands across the pylon, that's good stuff. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. And the play before that, where he got the ball knocked out of his hands, there was some conjecture about that play, and certainly I thought that was a touchdown. But, you know, 2 feet down, he was making a football move, and that ball came out. Should be over with when 2 feet are down, right? So,
you know what, though? He needs to tuck that. He didn't tuck it away. He caught it and just held it just for – I mean, all it takes is a split second. And he held it in front of his body for a split second. You grab that thing and you stick it in your stomach in a nanosecond.
Yeah, that certainly – no doubt about that. But, you know, some teams could have folded right there, and they – you know, he came out and the quarterback made a heck of a throw there on a rope to get that ball in there. And it got in there, and, you know, they scored the touchdown. And he's thinking, holy cow, this is, you know, they just did it. They did it what they needed to do. It was one more box that they could check. And it just, you know, that defense just let it run down the back of their leg.
You know, if Jones, Watson, and Watson and Musgrave will not be playing this week. I can't imagine either one of them. And if Jones can't play either, I'm having trouble seeing the Packers win in this game.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. I don't know how, but again, it's, they're playing at home. So, you know, you got to give them the edge of on that aspect. And they're playing a team from Florida, and it's going to be not cold, I don't think, but it'll be chilly. So they'll have some advantages there, whether or not they can capitalize it and get the ball. You know, it's going to be get the ball moving on the ground early. That's going to open up the game.
So prediction time. First, just yes or no, playoffs.
Yes.
I'm really wavering, but I'll say yes too. But I think they've got to go 3-1 to get there.
The key game, you know, they got to win Sunday. That's number one. But B, they're going to have to beat the Vikings too. I think that's going to help them out tremendously. You know, they're not going to roll. You know, heck, if they win 10 games, that's a pretty darn good record. For a team that's rebuilding, and you got to like what they got there on offense. Defense, for some reason, just can't pull together. But you know, I just hope it's not a come down to the last game of the season and you lose that one to stay out of the playoffs. That's certainly something that could be a rallying cry. But here's the other thing, Pete. You know, this is a game where this could either, you know, start this circle down the drain, or it could be a rallying cry and they pick up the pieces and move on. That's going to be a really tough call and a really tough situation for that head coach to be able to keep those guys, to keep their noses up in the air and start playing a little bit more aggressively on defense and keep this thing on track. Otherwise, boy, you know, it could go south, and they could, you know, you could easily see them losing, you know, three of the next four if they continue, you know, if they don't use this as a rallying cry to pick them up.
You know, if they held it together in October, after October, and, you know, rebounded the way they did, I have trouble seeing this sinking them, this loss. And, you know, even as bad as it was, all circumstances considered, I have trouble seeing that sinking them. I just wonder if these injuries are going to do them in. You know, you take Watson off the field, you know, that's a lot of downfield speed that you're losing there. And that scares defenses to death.
Well, for sure. And it keeps the guys away from blitzing you too, because you need that extra guy back there to make sure you're cutting off lanes. Because if you're going to play zone, there's going to be holes and there's going to be opportunities for guys to make plays. So, you know, you're going to put them in a man situation and you can do that and then heat up the quarterback, which, you know, if Watson's not on the field, that makes that all more likely.
You know, how about I think they miss, you know, Musgraves, even though he was very much developmental, you know, he could stretch the defense a little bit down the seams. But what are you making of Tucker Kraft right now?
I like him. You know, early in the season, I was a little disappointed in the way that he blocked, because that was one of the things coming out of college. He said that he was a capable blocker, certainly was willing, but kind of looked out of sorts. And it seems like now that he's gotten the call, that his blocking has picked up. You see him making plays. And what I like about him is, you know, he's one of those guys that he's not just going to, you know, so many tight ends catch the ball, trip over their feet, and they fall down. You know, great, great play. But he's either going to smash you in the mouth or try to make you miss. I mean, he's got some athletic ability there. And you know, if he keeps to develop, who's to say he doesn't, you know, pass up Musgrave, you know, because Musgrave's got to be on the field. But at the worst case scenario, you're going to have two receiving threats at tight end, which Packers, in my memory, which as bad as it is, I don't remember that.
They did in 96.
Yeah, when they had
Chimura and Keith Jackson. And I remember, I think it was the opener of that season, they went down to Tampa and just blew the Bucs off the field. And those guys were a big part of it. And it was like, wow, they really got something going here. And yeah, I think that's kind of that's basically what Gutekunst has said the intention was in drafting both of those guys, was that gives, you know, those tight ends are a quarterback's best friend, right? And that gives, you know, you got one guy who could really stretch the seam. The other guy was just a good athlete and good player. If they keep developing, that would be a really interesting offense. I wonder how they're going to keep feeding all these guys, because they're all first and second year guys. What's this going to look like in two years from now?
It could be really, really, really difficult to defend. That's for sure. They're going to have to keep drafting them, because they're not. And we thought about this too. Is, you know, at some point in time, these guys their contracts are going to re-up, and you can't afford to pay them all. Who do you pay? And unfortunately, there could be a couple pretty good players that leave. You just got to keep restocking the farm. You know, you got to keep it up. And now is the time before that contract for Love, if he continues to progress, gets too big, and then you're back in the same situation you were when you had Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. No, that's, you know, and the one thing is, at least you get compensatory picks when you lose guys like that. So that can help you replenish, or you can preemptively replenish, and then you get the compensatory pick and you can use it on another position. By the way, prediction. Right now, I'm saying they draft three running backs this year, you know, next April.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, you see that's kind of their mode of operandi. They, you know, when they have a weak spot, they go get a bunch of them, like tight ends, wide receivers. They did it when Jones was a rookie too. Remember, they brought in three running backs, and Jones was the one that probably was the least likely to succeed, and he's the one that came out. So, yeah, I agree with you. It very well could be three running backs, and probably one pretty darn high.
Yeah, that first time I saw that was when Wolf and after Randy Moss took the NFC, was it the center? It was the North by then. It took the NFC North by storm. Wolf drafted a corner with his first three picks. You know, and only one of them panned out. you know. So you can't, you know, you can't bank on hitting on all of them. You're doing really well if you hit on two of them, I would say. So, I don't know. We could talk about the draft in the future after the season ends. We can get into all that stuff. But I'm looking at the hourglass here, and we've run out of time, so we're gonna have to wrap this up, Eric. But I just want to thank everybody for downloading the podcast and having a listen. And just want to remind you that we'll be back again next Monday to talk about, actually it'll probably post Tuesday morning to talk about the Packers game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There'll be lots to discuss. The playoffs are on the line for these last four games. So until then, everybody, take care. You've been listening to the After Further Review podcast. For Eric, I'm Pete. See you later.
Be good.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.